is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran. I love When Calls the Heart.
Hey, it's Panda. I like When Calls the Heart.
I'm Dan. I despise When Calls the Heart. And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Boy.
So I just can't tell you guys. We're three episodes in and it feels like we're never going to get there. It feels like we're never going to get there.
Stop it. Dan.
That is rude, Dan. First of all, and second of all, I don't appreciate your heart. Where your heart is at right now. I don't like it.
I can tell you what's calling my heart. Anything but this.
Dan, don't make us call you Danny. With this attitude, you're acting like a Danny.
He is acting Big Danny's.
Big Danny vibes
right now.
We're talking about One Calls the Heart, everybody. We're going through it. This is it. This is our last time on Netflix. Right?
Yeah. This is it.
There's one more week.
24th is when it goes bye-bye.
So who knows really, huh? Who knows
what's going to happen? I think we may figure out a way to get a hold of it, though. But I think you can get it on Hallmark Movies now, right?
I don't know. Right now, you can't. You can only get season 7 on...
Well, thank goodness.
So this is a real thing, man. It's like they heard we were doing this. They were like, let's make it harder. Right. Yeah. Well, Johnny Hallmark, we're going to figure it out.
We are going to figure it out. No stopping us now.
We might pay for it.
This train has left the station.
That's right. This train's gone.
We're going to pay for your product.
Right. And you're not going to get all the money. It's going to be split between different companies.
Oh.
Let's, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Calls the Heart, season 1, episode 3, Telling Silence is the name of the episode.
Is it a horror episode? No.
it originally aired on January 25th. Man, we're really just a week at week. We really should have just paused the week.
That 7-year reunion wasn't going to celebrate itself or whatever. Right. 7-year celebration.
That's right. January 25th, 2014. And it went a little something like this. So the church burned down. You guys remember? They're supposed to be meeting at the saloon. Not many people are, though. They're going to this gathering in the woods. Mr. Gowan's upset about that because he's paying the pastor, the reverend, but no one's going to the church. They're only going to the meeting in the woods. And so Reverend Anderson is very upset about this as well, because Miss Montgomery is the one leading these meetings and she's just a woman. And so they're out there and they're in the woods and no one's coming to see Reverend Anderson. So he goes to her house and it's like, so you've been leading these gatherings in the woods. How about you play the piano for me before I kill you? Just kidding. I thought that's where it was going, but it wasn't. It was just a little diddly on the piano and then him saying, stop taking my congregants.
A little diddly
on the piano. So he's like, stop taking my congregants. But she's like, sorry, they like me better. And who wouldn't? You look like you're going to kill me. We meet this girl named Rosaline who hasn't talked since the mining incident. There's this town drunk named Wendell that just seems to scare her, and rightfully so. Wendell, odd duck. Reverend Anderson goes to talk to Jack and see if, since, hey, you got nothing going on aside from this dog that you're hanging out with, how about you try to figure out who burned the church down? You should take a look at that, see what you find out. Maybe you'll find out it's Miss Montgomery. So he goes to poke around the church and finds a can that's burned up, takes it to the nosy guy, and he's like, oh, that's whale oil. And Jack's like, where do I get this whale oil? And he's like, no one sells that in town. It's not a thing that people have around here. So as if Jack doesn't have enough on his plate with the whole whale oil situation, Elizabeth asks him to investigate Wendell because he's given everybody the heebie-jeebies. The next day at school, Rosalind disappears after Wendell drives by in his creepy carriage. And so she thinks that, oh, Wendell took her. So goes to find Jack and says, hey, Jack, go find her. And so Jack goes to Wendell's house and he's there, but she's not there. And so he's like, where's she at? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything aside from the one time that I kind of went and I almost hit her, but I didn't hit her. Jack leaves Wendell. And Wendell then says, you know, no more drinking for me, and pours that down into a bucket that he can most definitely still drink out of if push comes to shove. The town goes on a search for Rosalind. Elizabeth heads to the school to check to see if she's there. And she finds a drawing of a picture that looks like a scene from M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. Also just so happens to be someone walking into the mines. And so she's like, I'm going to go to the mines. So she goes to the mine, finds her, luckily she was in the first shaft that she checked. Rosalind speaks, and she's like, the day of the mine accident, I didn't bring my dad lunch, and so he's dead because of me. And Elizabeth is like, well, that's a stretch, so let's go ahead and leave out of here. Not your fault, you're just a child. And so she brings her back to her mom, and they give a big hug. Elizabeth and Jack catch eyes with each other and they smile. Reverend Anderson feels bad about being a bad pastor, so he quits. And Jack finds whale oil in Miss Montgomery's shed. And that, my friends, is a cliffhanger. And when calls the heart.
Telling silence. So
that's exactly right. Guys, a cliffhanger. Did you see it coming?
No, I did not.
I didn't
see that
coming. Got to come back next week for that whale oil story.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to break this episode down, share how we felt about it and all that good stuff. But first, here's a quick break here on Deck the Hallmark. Oh, we're back. We're back. Yeah. Feeling good about that. Hey, guys. You guys want to talk about A Telling Silence, the third episode of One Calls the Heart?
I would love to, Brian.
Let's do it with four segments, if you guys don't mind. Let's start with the hot take. It's where we share how we felt about this episode. Did we love it? Would we leave it? Whatever it is. Panda, what'd you think?
How can I put this in words that don't sound like I'm hedging a bet? This is... one of the best things I've seen on television in a while. Okay. I love this so much. Now let me say, it's not the best episode of When Calls the Heart so far. It's still good though. Really liked it. Big feels for me. Here's why. I think that they pack an emotional punch with the little girl. I think that works really well. There's some moments in this episode, though, that do give one pause. If I were to boil it down, I would say I'm really digging When Calls the Heart. Love the cliffhanger. All in. Big feels.
Yeah. Still feeling as high on it as you were after the first episode. Yeah.
It's still high. Yeah. When you're at nine and you drop to an eight, that's not indicative that's bad.
No, of course not.
This is what I'll say. I think this episode would play a little bit better for me if I hadn't already seen the mute girl storyline before and When Calls the Heart in a few years when all the mute kids come to town.
Yep.
It's fine. This is the thing, man. This is a Hallmark drama where they make it feel like there's serious things at stake.
But there
at the end of the day, the church is already burned.
That's right.
And Wendell didn't hit her. So right. like there's a lot of music and swelling and it's like, oh, things are happening. And it's not really all that serious.
Nope.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not here for it. Had a good time. Wendell, I'm for you, bud. I think you have a bad rap and that's not fair to you because every conversation I've seen you in, Wendell, you seem like you're trying your best.
That's
so
right.
Everyone's going around slandering your name saying, oh, he might have killed the girl or, oh, he's a real troubled soul. Okay, he seems like he's trying his best. So let's give the guy some grace and maybe, oh, I don't know, some encouragement, Elizabeth.
Yeah, this show continues to barrel down a path that started with worst show ever. look, there are no stakes, zero. You're 100% right, Bran. Every time they try to make you think there are stakes or something matters, it actually doesn't. The girl wasn't taken. She wasn't murdered. He didn't abuse her. He just is an alcoholic because he should have been in the mine and died and didn't. Like, it's just people being people. They can't actually land a punch and make someone all and out bad. And the fact that Mr. Gowan is in every episode means he's going to come around too. I'm sorry. It's just tough sledding out there, guys. And they don't bother to make it anywhere near airtight. It's not as this is my least favorite episode, but it's not as what? Like, it's my least favorite of the three, but it's not.
I know,
as,
but what? How?
What do you mean how? You're the one that said it's gotten worse.
No. This is a better episode than two, in my opinion.
But it's not as good as one. You said you weren't as high on it now as you were on one. Did he go?
He's gone.
He's gone.
I think that's his way of telling us. That
he didn't want to answer the question.
That's a tough sell.
Here, the thing is this, in the first two episodes, there are just some point blank, just like the forgive me paw sign is just absurd. This has plenty of wait, what's nothing quite as, you know what? Actually, no, it does have something massive wrong with it. They look all day for this girl and they never check the schoolhouse or the mine. No.
They checked the school. She checked the schoolhouse first, she says. She just didn't see the picture.
She didn't see the drawing. They didn't check her stuff for any clues.
No, she was doing a quick look. Right when she got taken, she went to check the schoolhouse. She did a quick, not in there. I'm going to go find Jack.
We'll get back to it because I want Panda's take, and I feel like he was on mute for a little bit there. Are you there, Panda?
Hey, I sure am, buddy. Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
good. Yeah, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's really, really bad. It's a bad episode of television.
I don't understand how you can say that. I feel like the characters were more fleshed out. I think it works on every level.
I will say this. There are fewer characters in this episode, which did do some favors to the show. Instead of throwing a lot of people at the screen, we only get, you know, we kind of know everyone's name. No Lori Loughlin around in this episode.
No, that's true.
Which was weird. I thought she was a series regular. I thought she was in every episode. It was a little bit different. But if you're not going to have any stakes where people could die or people could be just downright evil, like there's no cliffhanger in the world that's going to mean anything. It just isn't.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
There is death.
When?
Not in this particular episode, but in the show.
What?
In the show. Oh, yeah, maybe someone dies. But also, half the town died, Dan.
Before the show started, people died.
There's a ton of them. They're just dropping left and right. Like, Dan, flies
before,
down there.
No one has died since we started watching.
Dan, before we started,
it's not like they're going to kill.
How much more do you want? What more does your craven heart want, Dan?
I just want actual steaks. That's all I want. That's all I want.
You want a rare or medium? Let's get to all the feels. It's the part of the show we talk about what in this particular episode of When Calls the Heart gives us feels. Panda,
how about not bringing her dad lunch? Oh my gosh, that just tore my heart up, broke it. Shattered into a million little pieces.
I will say this. That little girl as an actor was better when she got a chance to speak because early on, all she had to do was be silent, and it was, she wasn't pulling it off. But once she got a chance to speak, she did a better job emoting at that
point. She's adorable, man. I love
it. I can speak for all the listeners and say, Dan, I'd like for you to take some time and practice your silence as well. Okay. I think you can get a little better at it. When Elizabeth brings her back to her mom, and she yells, "Mommy!" And she hears that she's speaking. And she knows that her daughter is safe, and you see the relief of the mom. Big feels for Bran. I love that.
Yeah, nothing here. Oh, I did have a feel, but it wasn't actually on screen. This episode was directed by Michael Landon Jr. And do you guys know who Michael Landon was?
Isn't that the guy from Bonanza back in the day?
Michael Landon was a very famous TV actor. He was on like 10 years of Little House on the Prairie as the lead role of Little House on the Prairie, the guy who was in Mr. Ingalls. This is his son directing a show that kind of takes place on a similar kind of landscape. And it just gave me the chills just to know that his son is his dad's no longer with us, and his son is doing something in a similar like vein.
Love that.
And I really liked that a lot. Gave me feels.
It's like when our kids start their own podcast.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, they're doing it. They're doing it.
Cut down the language a little bit, guys.
Yeah, but a little bit.
Good. Yeah, it's a little rough
talk too.
It's brutal.
It's all Lily's fault.
It really is. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get to the Wait What's and the hopes and valleys, as well as what's calling my heart. We got all that coming up here on Thank the Hallmark. Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back. Another break.
Another break.
We did it. Hey, it's time for the Wait What. It's the part of the show where we talk about what in this episode made us go, wait, what? Panda?
So even though this show's largely airtight, there's a few things that were a little concerning. First of all, the Pinkerton Agency, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, they're considered the best of the best at this time, right?
Yeah, but they're no longer in charge of anything, right?
Right, but they go and they do an investigation of the church initially when it burns down. They find nothing.
Yeah.
And our boy, Jack, comes on in with a knife and flips over something in 15 seconds and finds that whale oil can. I don't know. I don't understand. Here's the other one. How did Elizabeth not know Wendell Backus? Okay. So she's concerned about him. Now he has been going to the saloon every day, drinking all day long, essentially.
Yeah.
She teaches in the saloon.
That's right.
So she would have seen him. Like, she should know this guy by now. Like, this is, but that doesn't make any sense, because she acts like she has no clue who he is. She's like, who's this guy? That doesn't make any sense to me. And I would also point out, the one guy you probably don't want searching for the little girl is Wendell. And yet everyone's really excited that Wendell's gone. Like, no, this is the guy that threatened her.
Yeah.
If he's, you wouldn't want him. Like, everyone's just like, yeah, that's Wendell. Good old Wendell.
There's
no.
Classic.
He's not back. Good old Wendell.
Wendell's Backus.
I don't know. And then finally, the last thing that I was a little concerned about was Jack. At the very end, she's teaching a Latin lesson. And she basically says, what does everyone think this word means? The little girl says sun. She goes, yeah, it means that the sun shines on everyone. And guess what? Go outside. He comes over and he goes, listen, great lesson. I just want to point out, wasn't a great lesson. It wasn't a great Latin lesson. Just there. That's all I've got. Otherwise, this movie's awesome. Or show.
And by
show.
Movie, you mean show. Yeah.
This, I love that everybody applauded the girl.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, how patronizing was that?
Oh, heck yeah.
You said something. Words. All right.
I got a couple of things. I'm worried that Reverend Anderson can't pick up on the fact that people are not showing up because he's boring as tar.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to, Reverend. You're boring. That's like Reverend John up there in the mountains being like, why is everyone going to Stephen Furtick? I don't get it. Well, it's because you're boring. That's why. That's why it's happening.
I'm just telling you right now, based upon pure horror movie appearance and heebie-jeebies, Number one on the who took Rosalind list should be the Reverend.
No doubt. You all thought she was going to kill. You all thought he was going to kill Miss Montgomery.
Yes, for sure. That dude is going to murder somebody.
No, he's just like, play me a diddly. I got a question for you guys. And I want to know your answer. Can you draw a picture of the most important hour of your day?
What?
Can you draw a picture of the most important hour of your day? Because that's what Elizabeth asked Rosalind to do. Can you draw me a picture of the most important hour of your day? Right. How do you do that?
I got to be honest. I have some actual training on dealing with children that have been through trauma. And I, you know what works really well is pepper them with a bunch of questions and tasks they can't complete.
Yep.
That's really good for kids that have been through trauma. Like, that's how you get to it. Hey, how's this? What's your favorite this? What's your favorite color? Draw me the thing. Do the things. Like, that scene was, it wasn't even in my Weight Watchers because it was just uncomfortable.
How do you draw an hour?
No.
And here's this is kind of to Pam's point, but when is the saloon open for salooning?
Yeah, write that down. Yeah.
Because she's like doing a one-on-one lecture a moment with her, which I'm assuming is maybe a little bit after school ends, and homeboy comes walking in to get his drink. Like, when is it open? Is it open during school hours too?
Multifaceted. You can drink while they're in there learning. Learn some Latin. Get your drink on.
Amen. And this is just to my point of poor Wendell over there. I hope to God that my boy does not catch wind of the fact that Elizabeth is accusing him of kidnapping.
That's right.
Let's hope he doesn't catch wind of that, Elizabeth, because he's not a kidnapper.
Yeah. All of my Weight Watchers have to do with this disappearance. All of them. And we can walk through, and there's five, but six or so, but we can walk through it. First of all, Elizabeth can't find Rosalind and sees Wendell's carriage ride off. That, between the fact that she gets stone frozen, is enough for her to think that Wendell has kidnapped her. Okay, whatever the case may be, even if he hasn't, she is right to investigate that. We see that scene. Music swells. He's riding off. You're like, oh, no, we got to do something. Cut to commercial. We come back to Basset Hound fun with Jack and the ball. It's like a girl could be kidnapped and she could be dead. And it's like, bang, 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 bang. Hey, Basset Hound, you're lazy. Like, what is that? what is happening right now? You can't do that. There's a girl's life at stake.
Yeah, but Jack didn't know it yet.
Yes, but everything about it is not the right tenor. Then Jack goes to Wendell to confront him, and he says, you've got no right to accuse me. Yes, he does. That is literally his job, is to find evidence and accuse people accordingly. It is his job. That is, yes, he does. He has he is the only one in town that can legally make a legal accusation against this guy. Like that. And then here's Wendell's story. And I want to be very clear about this. He had way too much to drink, got just loaded up, but remember specifically everything that happened during that time that he was loaded. Just remembers everything. I remember talking to her. I remember pulling my hand back. I remember she didn't have respect. I remember the sun was shining through the window and prism. Like, he remembers it like he was on the job reporting it, but he also supposedly had way too much to drink.
Dan, it's not good sauce, you know?
Yeah, it isn't good sauce. Then the girl has been missing all day long. All day, okay? It is a school day. She didn't show up that morning. It's a school day. They told Jack, girl's been missing from sunup to sundown. Jack comes back and goes, Backus didn't take her. And Elizabeth looks like she's in CSI Coal Valley, and she's like, I think we need an all-out search. What have you guys been doing all day? The girl's missing. The all-out search should already be happening. With time is of the essence, people. Why has the idea of all-out search just now come into play? I don't understand that. And then in their all-out search, I want to be clear. They never checked her stuff all day long. There was stuff in the schoolhouse with a drawing that specifically said where she was going to be. They never checked it all day. They didn't check it to the evening. And then you mean to tell me during this all out search, nobody checked the mine? Nobody. Her dad was a miner. Nobody went there. And speaking of the miners, did they have the day off? The kids are in school. No miners were there all day. A girl just snuck in completely like unnoticed. Were all the miners home doing something else? It's absolutely asinine. None of that makes any sense. It was the least amount of effort applied to a plot that was supposed to have stakes that I've ever seen. It was real bad.
Okay, sure. But I think we can all agree the dog's cute.
The dog's great.
Big dog's super. Love
Big Basset Hound fan. Yeah.
You gotta love the dog. It is time for Hopes and Valleys, everyone. It's the part of the show where we talk about something that we're excited about, giving us hope, or some valleys, something that's, you know, we're a little concerned about moving forward. Panda?
Guys, I'm concerned about Gabe. I think Gabe is the boy, Cat's boy. Yeah. He's already gotten some shenanigans before, stealing the sign the first time. Guys, I think he kind of burnt down the church, and I'm just worried about where he's at. Like, he's desperately looking for a father figure in Jack. It's just, he's bumming me out. He's giving me really sad vibes.
You think he took Mama's whale oil?
Well, here's my question. Why isn't that an assumption at this point? He's already, I mean, he seems like he's kind of a bad apple at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Listen, he's sorry, I'm sure, if he did do it. So, you know.
You think he is?
What's done is done.
He's a rascal.
So he burned down the church, no big deal. No, I'm concerned too. I would agree with that.
I have a valley. You guys know I like to be positive. My valley, though, is the music in this first season. This is the first episode where it's really bothered me. Like, the vibe that the music's given me is not what's happening on the screen. I thought that Reverend Anderson was going to murder her because the music was giving me those murder feels, and so was his face.
Yep.
So the music is not helping me kind of connect with what's happening. It's like the music, but it's like up here, like on any emotion, crazy excitement feels. It's like, like, it's just a lot.
Mounty and playing with dog feels.
Doggy. So I hope that they figure it out, because it's just a lot for me right now, and it's something that I notice. And so hopefully, they figure it out.
They won't. You did spoil my. I have a hope and a valley this week, and you spoiled it in your synopsis. My hope is that Wendell Backus is quitting drinking, and my valley is maybe he's not quitting drinking because he dumped that bottle of liquor somewhere where he could easily rescue it. He did not dump it outside.
He dumped it in a container with a larger opening.
That's right. That's right.
For it quicker would be consumption.
Easier access. So my hope and valley, kind of the same thing, unfortunately, for old Wendell Backus, because I think he's going to go back to that sauce pretty quickly.
It's not looking real good.
Not looking
in his defense, though, he was on the sauce at the time, so he thought that he was pouring it out.
Yeah, and apparently he's razor sharp mentally with the sauce, so it's not a big deal.
He's a functioning one. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. We're very excited. We're going to close this episode with a What's Calling My Heart. This letter.
We're starting to get real emails.
We had one last week.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but we're starting to get more than we're going to be able to read, I feel like.
There's a lot of episodes.
That's true. Hello@deckthehallmark.com.
That's right. With the subject line, What's Calling My Heart? This one comes from Pilar. Dear Brandon, come on, Pilar, Panda, and apparently Daniel, not Dan.
That's right.
I've so frequently referred to Deck the Hallmark as my favorite podcast the past few years. Every algorithm on the internet thinks I must be in the market for a Life Alert bracelet.
come on, Pilar, be better.
But here I am, young-ish, and mostly vital. Just someone who happens to think that your bits are funny enough to watch Hallmark movies for. Well, I don't know if it's a direct one-to-one, but the bits
She's
are
here
funny.
For the bits. She's here for the bits.
But you've crossed a line this time by forcing me to watch When Calls the Heart. Forgive me, Paul. I now find myself gobbling up this show like a basket of Abigail Stanton's biscuits. I cried four separate times in season one, a fifth time when I realized I was four episodes into season two and I didn't even know it. Too far under the spell of a certain red-coated Mountie to think clearly anymore, and that is fair. Yeah. Netflix end date of January 24th makes for an ambitious deadline, and all these episodes of Real Housewives that are piling up on my DVR certainly aren't going to watch themselves. So I want to be mad at you for turning me to a sniveling Hardy, but I was probably one all along, and I just could never stay mad at you anyways. Thanks for nothing, and also for everything, Pilar.
Man, that is a well-written email.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pilar.
It was just bookended perfectly, really well. I laughed. Loved it. I cried. It was wonderful.
Pilar says Philadelphia by way of Coal Valley.
Yeah. Philadelphia by way of Coal Valley. Fair enough.
Yeah. Pilar, thanks. Thank you for listening, and thanks for letting us know what is calling your heart, which is apparently When Calls to Heart. So it's a real
cyclical
thing
situation.
We hope to hear from more of you. Email us hello@deckthehallmark.com. Subject line, what's calling my heart? We got another one for next week. I know that much at least. So yeah. We got that going for us. We're going to be back episode 4. We'll figure out a way to watch it. Hope you do as well. Or you're like Pilar and you just really go for it this week. I believe in you. Until next week, may we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to bramblejampodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam podcast ad-free, go to bramblejamplus.com.